My name is Monica Manetic.
Hey, Monica.
It's such a an honor and a privilege to be here. You know, I just I was nervous getting over here. I always get nervous, but I'm really grateful to carry this message, right? This life-saving message. And it's just so beautiful, right? How, like, throughout the process from getting here, getting clean to now, right? How many things just get revealed throughout it, right? And one of these things, I was so tied around this, like so confused about this topic, right? And I was like, man, like, why doesn't it click? Like, why does the definition not click for me? Like, I read it, it just didn't click, and it just wouldn't, like, you know, I got this topic back a few weeks ago, and it just wouldn't sit with me, right? Like, I was like, what is going on with it, right? And then yesterday, you know, I got to do some step work with the sponsee, and we were going over step one. And in the flat book, it talks about, there's a section, and it talks about hitting bottom, despair and isolation, right? And I want to read that part because this is where it really hit me, where, like, it made sense, right? And it says, all the lies, all the rationalizations, all the illusions fall away as we stand face to face with what our lives have become. We realize we've been living without hope. We find we've been friendless, become friendless or so completely disconnected that our relationships are a sham, a parody of love and intimacy. And then the next thing says, though it may seem that all is lost when we find ourselves in this state, the truth is that we must pass through this place before we can embark on our journey of recovery, right? And then I definitely underline that part that said must, right? Because it's letting you know that we must go through this, right, for us to be able to get on that journey. And then I love that it was under that hitting bottom, right? It ties to so much of the literature, right? But what really stood out for me is, like, in that recovery and relapse portion, right, where it talks about us hitting those spiritual, emotional, and physical, emotional lapses, right? Like, it's more than just the physical. It starts in these other areas before we actually start to pick up the drugs, right? And for me, right, I've hit so many of those spiritual, emotional, mental lapses here in recovery, right? I've been blessed to have 7.5 years clean, right? And, like, through those 7.5 years, it's been, like, I'll hit the bottoms, and then I feel good again. And then I'm at another, right? And it's always through those bottoms, right? And an addict told me, thank God for the bottoms, because the only way from here is up, right? And that always stuck with me, right? I was like, man, like, thank God for that, right? Because, like, there is no other place but up, right? Recovery gives us an opportunity to have some hope. And even when we come in here with this false perception, right, of, like, our reality, right? Our reality is distorted. Our thinking is distorted, right? When we get in here, some things start to make sense, right? And I was just so grateful when I started reading that, right? Like, I was like, man, like, now it's starting to make some sense. And then, of course, like the good addict I am, right, I want to obsess over the definition and I want to complicate it. And I'm like, no, remember what it hit, like, where it hit you at, right? Like, this area in our flat book, right, our step study guide is what really, really connected with me, right? And, you know, one thing I'm so grateful for in recovery is, like, is really being able to learn to be true to myself, right? And I know, right, that our greatest value is in being ourselves. So when we're being anything outside of who we truly are, right? And that's the process of discovering itself, because I came in here trying to be everything and anybody that I wasn't, right? I wanted you to like me. I wanted to fit in here. I wanted to have this image and you know, and so it's so interesting how coming in here again, right? I got back in here in 2011 and I wasn't ready, right? My clean date is in 2015, but in that gap between 2011 and 2015, there was a seed that was planted, right? And I always tried to justify my differences. Like, I'm not like them, right? I was an athlete. I was successful externally, right? I had all the stuff to my name and everything looked good from the outside. I thought I looked good, right? And I go look at my pictures and I'm like, oh God, girl, right? And, but you know, it really shows me, right, how, like, we really try to, like, how we're masking everything, right? I really tried so hard to, like, maintain this image of, like, this athlete, and I didn't want anybody to know the truth about me. And the truth is that somehow I always kept getting led back to Narcotics Anonymous. I wasn't here on paper. My story wasn't, I wasn't living under the bridge, right? That's not my story. And I used that for a long time to keep justifying why I shouldn't be here, right? But I know today that, like, God had a bigger purpose for me, right? And it wasn't God's will for me to be here. And I'm grateful for that, right? Because of this program, man, my life is just so different today. And it's beyond my wildest dreams, right? Like, I could have never even imagined having a life that I have today, right? Like, in recovery, I met an amazing man that's in recovery. We're getting married in 2 months. We have two beautiful children, right? We get to celebrate recovery together, and, like, life is so good, right? But, like, one of the most important things is that the freedom that I get from within, right? This program, the promise is freedom, right? And I really, really held on to that promise, right? Because I was like, freedom from this, right? Like, I know that what I wanted so badly was just to be free from myself, right? I wanted to be free from, like, that person that, like, always tried to be something that I wasn't, right? Always trying to, like, please other people. And, like, even getting in here, right? Still, right? Still trying to fit in. Still trying to be somebody I wasn't. Still trying to put on this, like, I'm trying to think of the word, but I guess it's, like, right? Like, another mask of, like, I wanted you to think, look, like, perceive me a certain way, right? And because of it, I held on to things for a long time, right? Thank God for the step working process, because, like, it doesn't have, like, when we get in here, right, we do work on it with drugs, right? Like, it does start off us working the steps, like, you know, because that's all our, that's the common thing that got us in here, right? But as we start doing some more work and we start, like, really, really getting deeper and we start peeling those layers, we realize it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, right? And my old sponsor had told me to work it on my, you know, at the time I was an athlete, I was a boxer, right? And I couldn't let go of that image and that sport. And it had gotten to a point where it became so unbearable in my life, right? Like, I was physically harming myself, I was emotionally harming myself, and I kept trying to force something in my own will. And because I was doing that, the pain kept becoming greater. I kept hitting those bottoms, right? And my old sponsor told me, work this area on the first step. Like, I want you to work the step one on this area. And I was already on 11th step. So I was, like, really trying to self-will, you know, that 11th step. And I was like, no. And, you know, it was all perfect timing, right? She told me to put that 11th step down, get back to that step one, and we're going to come back to that step 11, right? So I had wrote all these answers on step 11, and then I went to go redo that step one. And all she had me do was replace the word drugs with boxing. And when you go and you look at that, right, and you're replacing, like, all the stuff it talks about in step one, right, that powerlessness, that unmanageability, you're tying it to some kind of area in your life that you're in your active using in. It's going to make so much sense, right? And so I did that, and, like, everything started coming to light for me, right? How I always wanted people to, like, that was just a name that was tied to me. Like, who am I without this, right? Who am I without this image, this name? Like, I'm nobody, right, if I don't have this. And again, right, that illusion, that image, that I need you to see me this way, I need you to, like, it kept me so stuck, right? Like, I was so resistant to it. And I know today, right, like, through the literature, it tells us, like, our own, it's painful, our resistance to it is what makes it painful, right? Like, when we're resistant to the change. So when I finally surrendered that area, it was like my life definitely started to, like, unfold, right? Came back to that 11th step, and I was like, oh my God, I was really self-willing all of this, right? And so, like, I redid that 11th step for me, right? And things started making more sense. And today, like, I still get to do what I love. It just doesn't look the way I thought it should look, right? I thought I had to be in that ring helping people. I thought it all had to be about me, right? That self-centered part of me is like, it's got to be about me. I got to be the one with the gloves on. I got to be the one, I, right? And the truth is, like, I get to put the mitts on and help other people that put on the gloves today, right? Like, it's like reversed, and I get to give it back and help other women, and it's beautiful, right? Like, I love that I get to do that. Like, I love that I get to help others, right? But if it wasn't for this program, I don't know, I'd still be trying to self-will. I really can see that, you know, because it wasn't until I did the work in that area that I really got to see how much my image was tied to it, you know. And today I'm still working on that, right? Like, I'm really having to work on letting go and forgiving that little girl, right? Like, I'm in that process right now with my sponsor, like, really learning to forgive that little girl that thought she should know better, right? I take on a lot of responsibility, right? I like to carry a lot. I think I always have to carry everything, right? And I've carried these resentments and this hate and this hurt all my life. And it's caused me to act out, right? It causes me to act out in anger. It causes me to act out in bitterness, right? I start getting jealous. I start comparing myself. I start thinking I gotta be this way, look this way, do all this, and it's exhausting, man. It's exhausting. And I'm grateful, right? I'm grateful for the step working process, because the healing does start here, right? It tells us that in the first step, the healing starts here. And I really believe that, right? I truly believe that the healing does start here. When you pick up that pen and you start to write, you invite God into your process, like, you know, it truly is a healing process, right? And that part with that broken little girl, right? Like, getting with it with my sponsor and her, like, it was just so beautiful, right? Like, she told me something that I had never heard before, and she's like, I want you to, like, embrace that little girl. I want you to love on that little girl that thought she should know better, right? I want you to embrace her, and I want you to, like, you know, forgive her, because I carried something for so long, and because of it, right, now here, years later, right, as a grown woman with children herself, I'm still battling between the woman in recovery and the broken little girl, right? They play tug of war, and a lot of the times the broken little girl wins, right? But then the woman in recovery comes out, right, and, like, I'm able to apply the principles, right? When I harm people, I amend my behavior, right? I'm able to stop and think about stuff, right? Redirect my thinking, redirect the way I should be. You know, I don't want to treat people the way that I used to, right? And I just really love the process. I'm really feeling the peace within myself, right? And it's something that I didn't think I could even have, right? I always thought it had to be about the external stuff. I always thought it had to be about what I had, how I looked, how much I weighed, right? What clothes I was wearing. I always thought that that was what success looked like, right? And today I know that that's not my case, right? Like, I know today if all of the material stuff I had got taken from me, that Monica would still be good and Monica would still be clean, right? Because I know today that, like, that doesn't base my worth on anything, right? I used to, you know what I mean? Like, I would crumble if I lost something like that. But today it's like I truly have this, like, peace within. And I know it's only going to get better, right? I really don't have anything else to say, so I'm sorry. You're going to have to take it. But thank you.
Again, this time, my name is Julian. I'm an addict. Hello. I am grateful that I got a chance to be here. I initially, when I was asked, I forgot about it. And I was like, oh, well, let me get my shit together real quick. But yeah, I had the same experience. Like, when I got the topic, it was like we were trapped in an illusion, and, like, reading like the literature around it, like as far as like who is an addict and what that means to me, it was just hard for me to connect to. And sometimes I have to have like an associated word for it to make sense. And so when I was looking at like the definition of illusion, a false idea or belief, like, and that was like not just the foundation of me when I was using, like, it was like it still is today sometimes. Like, when I think of like the word illusion, I had to, like, what connected me to it was, what kind of story am I telling myself? Like, when I was younger, I used to write like little short stories and poems and stuff like that. And that was like a gift for me, but then it became like the thing that worked against me when I was using, you know, and it's, I'm not unique in that experience, but the story that I was writing for myself, like, kept changing constantly. And it got to the point to where it was like, it got fun for me. Like, I was like, oh, this thing is going bad. Let's redefine this. Like anger, let's redefine that word. Sadness, like, are we sad? Or like, does sad feel a little bit worse than we're feeling right now? And like it kept changing. And so the thing that comes to mind is like almost like the multiverse of madness, like it really was. It's like this insanity and moving from one world to another, and not really knowing what was going on and telling myself that everything was okay. And I remember, like, when I first started using, it was that feeling of like escape. Like, I was like, finally, I got what I was looking for. Like, the escape from the feeling of like worthlessness. Like, I was talking, I'm grateful for sponsees because they kind of center me and pull me back in, you know. And I was telling the sponsee, like, and I got to this point to where it was like, I remember there were moments where I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I think I'm going to kill myself. Like, and it was like, it's not that I didn't want to be here. It's that I didn't have anything that I felt like I had to live for. Like, and that was the thing. And so I, like, lived in, like, that was the illusion that I made for myself. And I dove as far into my addiction as I would say as I could, but I had like some boundaries because just like what was shared, I had to make myself feel better than other people, right? I'm like, I'm passed out in the bathroom. You're passed out in the middle of the hotel. Like, have some dignity. Like, I'm closest to the toilet. Like, I thought first. And so the illusions that I built for myself from those feelings of worthlessness, like, I know for me, like, growing up, like, my household, I was never given permission to kind of be who I was. Like, it was like, Julian, why are your jeans so tight? Julian, why is your voice so high? Julian, why? And so it was, I developed this dialogue of like, that's not good enough. And the tricky thing about going through the steps is like the blurred line that you get from something that happened to you to something that you took and then you did something like unhealthy with. And that's the things that I had to pull apart, like in working the steps. And that was really hard for me. It's like my mom did this to me, or my dad did this to me, or like this cousin did this to me. Like, it's their fault. It's like, well, what did you do with that? And like, so there's like a balance of accountability that to this day sometimes is challenging for me. And taking accountability and ownership, like with my parents, like them, and like, Julian, you're vile, you're going to the pit, like, and all of this, like these thoughts that I had, like at one point, when I look at people that took that and they're like, oh yeah, I started my own company and I blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I went to the streets. Like, I went straight to the bar and I went straight to like the Scottish Inn or the Motel 6. Like, how did you do it? You know? And so there's like, and so to even today, there's still kind of like some shame around that when I bump into people and they're like, oh yeah, I just took that and I started a nonprofit. And I'm like, this wasn't me. Like, I was like over here, like door unlocked, peeping through the peephole for 3 hours. Like, that was not my experience. And so the process of dissolving these illusions, like in the step working process, is like taking it a step at a time, and piece by piece in all these different areas of my life. And so when we say like it gets deep, like the how expansive this illusion is, like this life or this idea of who I was, that was a tough pill to swallow, because even like coming in, like, I knew it was bad, but it's like, oh, do you know who you are? Like, I heard someone say that in a meeting. It's like, oh, I didn't really know who I was when I came in. And I came in here like, I'm just trying to stop doing drugs, but I like know what I'm about, right? Like, you know, and so even to the baseline of like defining what my value systems are, like, what does honesty look like? Like, what does like compassion look like for others and for myself? Like, I was like, I don't know what any of these words mean. And so seeing how that illusion is all encompassing was really humbling for me, you know. And it took that like honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And like, that's what I tell my sponsees. It's like, the level of freedom you get is determined by the level of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness you're willing to have. And I was grateful that I had a sponsor that like didn't judge me and was willing to walk me through that, and other people that shared their experience as well. You know, and that's why I'm grateful for this fellowship, because I wouldn't have known how to dissolve some of the darkest parts of that illusion had someone in a meeting not said something about it and given me permission to like give myself freedom from it. I was like even to this day where I've like even like incest, like that was a dark part of like my step working process that I didn't want to talk about. And I heard someone say the word in a meeting, and I was like, oh, I can talk about this now. Like, and so I got to kind of like unlock that cage in my mind and like deal with everything that comes with that. And, you know, as we do in recovery, like get to the point to where we can share that with others, you know. And sometimes I'll say it in the meeting, it's almost like, and I'm like, well, that's, you know, my life, you know, and getting to the point to where I can take every part of my life and take responsibility for it and have a choice, because that's not something that I had when I came in here. It was just, how do I move and speak in a box and like bob and weave, like, you know, to dodge these feelings that I have, you know, and how do I get away from them as quickly as possible without, you know, thinking about it. And so I think about those times like where I was passed out in the bathroom, or I was taking money out of somebody's wallet or my mama's wallet or my sister's college fund, you know, or whatever that is. And it was all to preserve this illusion of like everything is okay. And to this day, I still have, I won't even say those moments, that is a lie. I have, you know, those areas of my life where that everything is okay is still like that dishonesty that I have with myself, like my relationship with my own body and sex and how I interact with other people. Like that is an area where I'm like, everything is okay. And I'm like, And the one thing that I'm grateful for coming out of that, but is also annoying sometimes, is the is those red flags that we get because we, you know, get self-worth and we get the gift of spiritual principles that we apply in our lives. And that pang, like, you know, that we get in our chest when, like when I'm not doing something I know I'm not supposed to be doing, or when I'm acting out, or when I, you know, for me, emotions are neutral. It's the, what I do with them and how they manifest in my life. Like, that's what makes them helpful or unhelpful. Not that for me, I don't like see good or bad. But for me, like anger sometimes can be something that guides me to what I feel is purposeful. It's like, oh, this made me angry. Is that something that, like, what am I going to do about that? How am I going to get into the solution in this thing that I'm angry about? So it's observing all of my emotions for me in a really neutral way, and applying these principles to this program and listening to y'all that has allowed me to become the person that I am today. And it's like, I remember when I first came in, I was like, am I gonna have to do this forever? Like, and then people like people say like, oh, you just have to do it for today. And I'm like, girl, whatever. but it really is like, you know, it really is. I've like, that is the mindset that I have to stay in, but I do also have the, like, I'm gonna have to do this forever. Right. You know? And so, And the, for me, like today, the self-deception is because I've gotten to strip away so much of that illusion. I almost like it's, I almost have this desire to reinforce like the areas that I know are not working for me, like, and make them more unmanageable. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing drugs. I pay my bills on time. My car is not getting repossessed. Like, you know, let's have sex with a bunch of people. Like, why not? And then for me, in my mind, just honestly with y'all, I have an acceptable amount and then an unacceptable amount. And we've been leaning in the unacceptable amount lately. And for me, like, the illusion sometimes is as simple as, it's like a simple sentence. Like, Julian, you're not worthy of a relationship. Like, Julian, you don't deserve to, like, have, like, not even financial success stability. Like, these little things, like, that I tell myself, it is interesting how the power of one sentence or one word from somebody, like, when I was younger, like, when I said, like, my mama said, Julian, you're vile. Like, that still, it rings in my ears when I hear it today. And there, sometimes I'll do stuff. And even something as simple as, like, walking down the street. Like, when I'm in the mall, like, sometimes I'll walk past, like, a black family, and I'm wearing, like, my little Get It Girl draws and my little, like, you know, whatever, and my little tank top. And I will, like, push myself up against the wall almost. Like, you know, because of that sentence that I, you know, that I chose to turn into this story about me, you know. And so this process for me has been about deconstructing those things and having the willingness to look at them over and over and over and over until it becomes something that feels honest to me and true to me, and being willing to ask, like I get to the point where I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, because even coming in here, like, and even today, like, seeing, you know, seeing y'all and hearing people share and stuff like that, I'm like, I don't want to tell y'all, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I'm going to try to figure this shit out on my own. Like, and for me, like, as far as higher power goes, I'm kind of like, the way I see things, it's kind of like, I have this thing that I'm struggling with. What spiritual principles or what things do I need to bring in, right, to get relief from these character defects and turn them into assets? And in what measure? And sometimes I really have difficulty with the measure, because I will want to get into the solution on something, and then I will overinvest, and I'll get to the point where I'm angry. Like, and then that creates this whole evolve Pokemon of whatever feeling that I had before. And I need y'all to, like, help me walk it back sometimes. But yeah, like, I am grateful that I have gotten to get freedom from the illusion of the life that I lived, like, in going through my first round of steps, looking at how much I allowed, and taking responsibility and accountability, like, and diving into that, that was, yeah, like, really difficult for me, like, and there are still points of shame, like, even how I treated my body and how that then affected other people's bodies. I sometimes feel like I have that flash of a thought where I'm like, I don't have the right, like, to walk around and live a life that I'm proud of. Like, I don't deserve that. And through those little flashes, like, I get the gift of being able to show up for other people and show up for myself. And sometimes that really is the thing that carries me through until I get back to that plateau or peak of self-worth, whatever it looks like at that time. But yeah, I'm getting to that point where I'm running out of sentences and words, but I love y'all. And, yeah, happy to be here. That's it.